The Federal Communications Commission has released a plan for auctioning off radio spectrum next year, but it still has tough decisions to make. The tech industry wants the FCC to set aside more free, unlicensed airwaves, but that won't help the government generate more revenue. For the latest, we turn to Kate Tamarello. She is a staff writer at The Hill newspaper, and she covers these issues. Kate, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So, Kate, let's start. Just catch us up. What is the FCC planning to do?
So, like you said, in 2015, the FCC is going to take airwaves that have been used traditionally by broadcasters to transmit TV signals, and it's going to switch those airwaves to be used by cell phone networks. So, you know, Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, T-Mobile, the companies that power your cell phone and your smartphone, they're going to use these airwaves to boost their networks. You know, people are using mobile devices more and more, and there's this huge push for more spectrum for mobile networks. So the FCC is going to be buying these airwaves back from broadcasters, repackaging them, and then selling them to these spectrum-hungry wireless carriers.
And more details have come out recently about how that's going to happen. What have you learned in the past week or so?
Well, so last week they kind of started announcing their plans for this, and you know, they said they're going to put some limits on the big bidders. FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler described, you know, the market power that AT&T and Verizon have as a historical accident of spectrum allocation. So he wants to level the playing field a bit by allowing Sprint and T-Mobile and some of the smaller wireless carriers who are on a regional basis to bid in some of these auctions without competition from the big guys. So he's going to be reserving approximately 30 megahertz, so that depends on how much spectrum is available, for, you know, the little guys to bid without worrying about the deep-pocketed Verizon and AT&T from outbidding them.
Okay. Well, some might think that Sprint and T-Mobile aren't exactly the little guys, but I guess this is all relative. And is this why AT&T has threatened to boycott the auction?
Yes. They're not happy with the limits. They've been pushing the FCC to ignore the calls for limits for a long time now, and they said last week, you know, we see your plans and we don't like them. And if you go forward with this, there's a good chance that we won't have the incentive we need to participate. Because, you know, the whole goal here is to raise revenue. This is what Congress said they wanted the FCC to do. They have to sell off these airwaves so that they can raise revenue to fund a nationwide network for first responders. But any additional revenue is going to go towards decreasing the deficit. So there's a big price tag here. And if you don't get AT&T to participate, there's concerns that you won't be able to meet those revenue goals set by Congress.
Who was, until this time at least, thought to be the biggest buyer? I mean, was it AT&T, and do they have some substantial cards to play in this?
Yeah, it was AT&T and Verizon. They're both big guys. You know, they would argue that, you know, nobody knows where they need spectrum because this is all done on a regional basis. So maybe they don't need spectrum in New York. Maybe they don't need spectrum in Boise, Idaho. Who knows where they need spectrum. So they do have cards to play here. They're certainly going to be the ones who can afford to pay the most for this valuable airwaves. And, you know, these are billions of dollars worth of airwaves here. So they need to definitely get the revenue up to where Congress has set it. But, you know, there's all these competing interests. You want to make sure that you can promote competition in the wireless space. You want to make sure that the guys who are in rural middle of nowhere and don't have much spectrum can, where there's no competition, AT&T doesn't want to build out to places that, you know, there's not a huge market, but these little guys are out there and they need the airwaves to build out their networks.
And now I do want to ask you about the little guys. I mean, I sort of was tongue in cheek when I was speaking about Sprint and T-Mobile, but it's true that these are pretty big players. And some would say that, you know, having those big four isn't exactly as competitive as it could be. What are the limits or the definitions that the FCC have set for this?
Well, so it's not just, you know, AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, and T-Mobile. Those are kind of the names we all go to because they're familiar and we've seen the commercials. But there are a bunch of, you know, very small regional carriers who you know, I've never heard of, and most people haven't heard of because you don't live in a rural state where, you know, you don't have AT&T's network. There is definitely a concern about, you know, not just the guys who operate on a national level, but the companies who really, you know, are very small, very rural, don't have the kind of bank accounts that, you know, Sprint and T-Mobile and AT&T and Verizon do. And so these rules are also aimed at making sure they get the boost they need to maintain their networks.
We're speaking with Kate Tamarello, and she's a staff writer at The Hill newspaper. So it seems like the FCC has several goals to fulfill with this spectrum auction. some of which might conflict with others. It needs to raise revenue for the First Responders Network. It also wants to be able to promote competition, but those that it could seem to benefit from the auction aren't the ones that are going to be the biggest bidders. Do I have that right?
Yeah, just in terms of who has the most money to bid. But, you know, there's also, you know, the story we're talking about, the tech industry wants there to be unlicensed airwaves, which consumer electronics devices run off of. So things like Wi-Fi routers, but also things like your garage door opener or your Bluetooth for your cell phone. And those are airwaves that, if the FCC deems them unlicensed, don't get sold. They just get left open, and then, you know, your Wi-Fi router can run on them. So the FCC has to also balance these requests for basically free airwaves that they're just, you know, kind of taking a revenue hit on.
So when you say the tech companies, who's involved?
I mean, we've seen filings from people like Google and Microsoft, but there are also, you know, coalitions, public interest groups. People are very interested in wireless or in Wi-Fi right now. You know, earlier this year, the FCC deemed higher frequency airwaves to be unlicensed. So that means those in the 5 gigahertz band are open for Wi-Fi networks. But, you know, people are looking to kind of get it where they can. And right now, the FCC is considering how much space it has to leave between different uses of these airwaves. So, you know, one use can't be too close to another use, or else you run the risk of interference. And the tech companies are hoping that the space in between can be used for these Wi-Fi networks.
So really, it's a question of how much do you have to give them in terms of spectrum and bandwidth for innovation, right? I mean, they're trying to take a guess or look in the crystal ball and think how innovative are we going to be without, you know, giving them as much as possible.
Yeah, there's definitely a balance here. You know, the tech industry would love more. This is what a lot of their devices and software and services, it all kind of runs on Wi-Fi nowadays. And, you know, you want to make sure that you allow for that room for innovation. But at the same time, there are these revenue goals that you have to hit. And in addition to the revenue goals that Congress set for the FirstNet, the First Responders Network, there's also the concern of paying off the auction. You know, you want to make sure that the broadcasters come to the table. And if, you know, some of the airwaves aren't going to produce revenue, then the broadcasters aren't going to get paid as much for it. And then why would they give up their airwaves? They're using them right now, you know, to transmit TV signals. So the FCC has to make it attractive for the broadcasters to come to the table as well.
Seems like a very tough road for the FCC to navigate. If it pulls this off, how would I'm just thinking, you know, if the spectrum were one continuous thing, we could visualize it. How would it change between now and, say, 2016? FCC like it to change?
Probably by 2016, you know, there are going to be build-out requirements, and it's going to take time to kind of implement everything. But down the road, if they pull this off and you get enough broadcasters to participate so that, you know, you can get AT&T and Verizon to continue bidding and you hit all the revenue goals, you know, we'll see faster cell phone networks. We'll see, you know, things that can handle quicker download speeds and stronger video streams on your cell phone. But also the funding of this FirstNet, which is a huge priority for Congress, especially after 9/11. This is a recommendation from the 9/11 Commission. They wanted to make sure that first responders are able to communicate with each other and not have, you know, the interoperability concerns that existed in the past. So that'll be a big goal of getting all this done.
And what's the time frame for FirstNet? I mean, first of all, is there a specific amount that they say they need before they can get started?
Yeah, they need $7
billion. Okay, that's quite a sum. And when do they think, if everything goes well with this auction next year, they might be able to actually do FirstNet?
I mean, I think that has yet to be seen. A big factor here is not just the incentive auction, which is the 2015 auction that involves buying airwaves back from broadcasters. The FCC is also in the midst of hosting two other auctions. So it just concluded an auction earlier this year, and that raised $1.5 billion, which will go towards FirstNet. We have yet to hear from the agency how much of it will go towards FirstNet because there are administrative costs. But, you know, this is something that also contributes. And then later this year, they're conducting another auction that will also raise revenue. So it depends, you know, how much the agency can take away. There are some people who think that they won't even need to use the incentive auction revenue, that by the time they're done with the auctions this year, they'll have wrapped up all the money they need, and then they can move forward. But if we have to wait till 2015, then, you know, things get pushed back some.
Right. So it's, but it's not like saying they're under pressure to raise $7 billion in this one spectrum auction next year.
Yeah, it's coming from a bunch of different auctions.
Okay. So what are some of the big things that you're going to be looking for from the FCC now that it's unveiled its plan and taken a lot of heat for it already?
Well, things are still in progress. The agency is going to vote on this plan during its May meeting. But I think the tech industry is definitely waiting to see if things change. Right now, it sounds like the agency is considering leaving 6 megahertz, between these different uses of spectrum, which they say is not enough. You need more contiguous spectrum. 6 megahertz isn't enough. Some people have argued for 12 megahertz. So we'll see if the agency budges on that at all. It'll be interesting to see going forward kind of how flexible the agency is with this. This is all relatively new. The reports of this have only come out in the last week or so. So a lot could change between now and the May meeting, depending on how flexible Chairman Wheeler is willing to be.
But right now it seems like the agency is offering half of what the tech companies say they want.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Okay. And since you do work for the Hill, I want to ask you, how is Congress getting involved in this?
So Congress is definitely watching this. I mean, this is all, mandated by Congress. We have an interesting party line breakdown in that this isn't just, usually Democrats support the FCC and Republicans kind of oppose it under a Democratic administration, but that's not really what's going on here. 2 weeks ago, we saw a group of 78 House Democrats write to Chairman Wheeler saying they didn't want limits on the big competitors because they want to make sure FirstNet gets funded. And they're worried that if, Wheeler says AT&T and Verizon have to sit out part of the auction, then they won't show up, revenues won't go up, FirstNet won't get funded. And Wheeler kind of responded, saying he's happy to work with them, but he didn't quite see eye to eye on that point. But you also have Democrats in the House who strongly support Wheeler and firmly believe that competition and increasing the small guys is what it will take to get good wireless service in this country. So the Hill's watching, and it'll be interesting to see kind of when the vote happens where people fall, if any of the Democrats have been swayed by Chairman Wheeler's logic.
All right. Well, we'll check in with you after that May meeting then to learn what happens. Kate Tamarello is a staff writer for the Hill newspaper. And Kate, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.